Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we are so grateful again to be in your house. And it's evident that your presence is among us today. God, like Brant was saying, we have your Holy Spirit with us all the time if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we meet together, two or three come together, and we meet together, we just sense that your presence is just amongst us in a great and mighty way. God, I pray that you would speak to the hearts and lives of people. God, we cannot be changed unless your Holy Spirit brings that change. God, I just pray that you'd illuminate your word here today. Your word changes us through the power of the Holy Spirit to refine us to be more like you each and every day. So God, I pray that each of us would know you and follow you. So give us a heart to follow today. Help us to hear your word being spoken. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just feel impressed that my sermon today, before I start my sermon, I feel like we need to make sure that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you haven't made that decision, that is something that you need to make. Like I said, we don't have the Holy Spirit just because we come to church. We get the Holy Spirit when we confess our sins and accept Him to come into our lives. And so, if you haven't done that, before we start the sermon, that's something that you just need to do. Confess your sins, that you're a sinner, and that you know you deserve hell, and that you need Him to wash you clean, wash away all your sins, and that so you can live with Him for all eternity. Acts chapter 2 talks about, Peter says, in verse 38, he says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When are you going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? When you repent. When you repent, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says, this promise, what promise? The promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. You know, we are living in a corrupt generation. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Repent and receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of life that Jesus provided upon the cross. Again, I just wanted to share that with you today because my sermon today is for believers, for people who are walking and walking with the Lord, and I pray that all of us are walking with the Lord. Those who are walking with the Lord, we are called to share our faith with other people. We're not called to keep this to ourselves. We are called to tell others about what Jesus has done in our lives and what Jesus has done for them, if they would accept him. You know, there was a pastor who went to another country to share about how they need to be out witnessing more. And as he was sharing this, they would objection after objection. But you don't understand. We don't have all the evangelistic books that you have that talks about sharing and witnessing that you guys have in America. And the pastor said, how many evangelistic books did the disciples have when they were sent out by Jesus? They didn't have any. Okay. And then as they shared more, there was many more protests. They says, well, you guys have money. In America, you have money. Well, you also have vehicles to get around. You guys also have the radio. And excuse after excuse after excuse. And the preacher kept coming back and saying, well, how much money did the disciples have? How much did the disciples have vehicles? Did the disciples have radios? No. And then one guy got up and he says, you don't understand what it's like here in this country where we are in occupation by another country and we have guards from the other country all over on every street corner. You don't know what that's like. How can we witness? And again, the preacher says, you know what? The disciples, when they were called to go out and be witnesses, they were occupied by Rome. And they were still called to go out and be witnesses. Jesus left them with nothing except a job to do. But with it, Jesus told them, "All power is given to me. Now go and be witnesses for me." You know, we can all have many excuses why we don't share our faith more. We may have good excuses, but we have more resources than the disciples ever had. And Jesus empowered them to do the work that he called them to do. And God will also empower us as well. So let's look at Acts chapter 1 here today. Sharing our faith can be a very hard thing to do. Maybe you could come up with several reasons why you don't share your faith that much with other people. Maybe you're just saying, "I'm not smart enough to share my faith. I'm not educated." But Jesus used common fishermen to go, and he trusted his message of love with these common fishermen. And you see what happened with that message. He didn't use the religious scholars. He used the common fishermen. Today I want to look at the tools that God has given us that we can go and we can go and share. So let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, 1 through 11. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After this suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Well, the first thing I want to see here today is God has equipped us to share. God has equipped us to share. We are equipped. All through Jesus' life, he taught his disciples. From the very beginning, Jesus was working towards equipping his disciples to take over the work. Because Jesus' life on earth was going to be short. You know, God could have not trusted man to do his work. God could have just let Jesus remain here forever and do the work. But he trusted sinful man to do the work. His teachings are a guide for us so that we know how to live and how to reach out to other people. Don't underestimate the example that your life has on other people. People are looking at your life. They are hearing the words that you speak. Your words and action cause people to draw closer to Christ or farther away from Christ by your words and by your example. Christians need to be serious about following what Jesus says. You know, I saw a quote this week, and I'm not really sure how they came up with these stats, but I thought I'd share these stats because they were pretty outlandish here. It says 7 to 9%, so around 8% we'll say, 8% of professing Christians are really sold out living how Jesus has told them to live. So out of all the people who profess to be Christians, and again, I don't know how they come up with this number, but they say about 8% are people who are really living out what God called them to live. Not just saying they're Christians, but living by the power of the Holy Spirit. If there is any truth to that stat whatsoever, that should be an eye-opener to us. We need to stop playing Christianity And we need to do what God has called us to do. Jesus wants us to follow His teachings, to do whatever He tells us to do. Jesus didn't just make up these teachings. He just didn't one day just make up these teachings. Verse 2 says, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. His teachings, Jesus' teachings were given through the Holy Spirit. This is not Jesus' opinion on different things. John 14, 24 tells us this. These words you hear, this is Jesus saying this, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So Jesus was saying whatever God instructed him to say. For this reason, we can trust the teachings of the Bible, of Jesus, that are true and trustworthy. Jesus is God, and He spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are equipped with God's Word. We are equipped with God's Word. But you know what? Too often, we choose not to read it. You know, again, I've shared many times that there's many people throughout the world that do not have God's Word. They would just love to have God's Word. We're equipped with God's Word, and yet we do not read it. Maybe we don't feel like we can witness because we just never cracked open the book. We need to read this, and we need to know what God has called us and what God has asked us to do and to know His teachings. I challenged my Sunday school class this year. This is the beginning of a new year. So I challenged my Sunday school class to read through the Bible in a year. Or read through the New Testament in a year. And what I like to do is, to make it easy, you get an app that reads it out loud, or you can go on BibleGateway.com, and you can just play it, and it plays it out loud, and you can just follow along as it's saying it. You can read it. And you know what? It doesn't take that much to read the Bible through in a year. In fact, if you would spend 1 hour listening to the Bible each day, just listening to the Bible and following along, you'd get through it in 90 days. Less than 90 days. Less than 3 months. You'd get through it. And so, if you did half hour today, you'd get through it in 6 months. You know? So I just encourage you to dig in. We are equipped with the Word of God. So I encourage you to dig in to the Word of God and to know it. But not only did Jesus equip us with His Word, but He also gave us motivation to witness. Verse 3 says, He showed Himself to these men and gave them convincing proofs that He was alive. You know what? It's very important that the disciples saw that Jesus was alive after His crucifixion. Jesus did not, I've said this before, Jesus did not roll the stone away so He could get out of the grave. He could have got out of the grave by, you know, without moving the stone. He rolled the stone away so that we could go in and see that He's not there anymore. There is convincing proofs. He showed them that Jesus is no longer dead. We need to be convinced of that, because that will completely change our outlook on life and how we live. Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days. He appeared to them many times through those 40 days. The Bible says that He appeared to more than 500 people. He appeared to more than 500 people. 500 people saw Him, that He was alive after His death. A belief in the resurrection changes our behavior and how we live. They were convinced that Jesus rose again. So that changed how they lived. 2 Peter 1:16. It says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories. They didn't follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection, of His teaching, of all those things. These men knew that they were not following the teachings of a dead man. You know, it changed the way I follow Him as teachings of a dead man. No, this is teachings of a living man, of one who conquered death, of a living God who conquered death. I don't know about you, but I can't get too motivated about issues that I don't think are very important or issues that I don't think are true. They're not going to inspire me. But if I am totally convinced that this issue is true and that this issue is very important, man, I am inspired to speak out about that. The more I am convinced of something, the more I want to speak out about this thing. So after you see that Jesus has risen from the dead and he has conquered death and has given us eternal life, we should want to share this with other people. You know, think about this. If you saw someone healed of cancer, someone was healed of cancer, and you saw this, wouldn't you want to go out and say, I saw this. This is amazing that what happened. Well, Jesus conquered death. Shouldn't we want to go out and share that message? Share about what Jesus did. Jesus did not just buy us a neat sweater. He died upon the cross and gave us a way to escape eternal punishment, eternal hell. We should want to share with other people what he did for us and what he did for them. So Jesus gave them his teaching and he gave them motivation, but he also gave them his spirit. He also gave them his spirit. Look at Jesus' words in verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5, Jesus says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For Jesus baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So how important is the Holy Spirit in a believer's life? Well, look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Do not leave this place until you have the Holy Spirit." Don't leave this place. Stay here until you have the Holy Spirit in your life. You can do nothing of importance without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what the church so desperately needs in our lives today. We need it in a major way. We are powerless without the work of the Holy Spirit. We are nothing. It's like we are a microphone. Just picture a microphone. I'm speaking through a microphone right now. A microphone, if it's not plugged in, it doesn't do anything. You know, I'm speaking, but if we're a microphone and we're not plugged in, we're not plugged into the power source, it does nothing. And that's us if we're not plugged in to the power of the Holy Spirit. When we're plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to radiate a voice. And that voice that we're radiating is the voice of Jesus and his word. The pastor and author Tony Evans gives an example about having the Holy Spirit. One day he was at the airport and he was trying to catch a plane. He just got off a plane and he was trying to catch another one. And he had a couple of carry-on bags that he was holding and he was kind of running. And he was huffing and puffing and he was sweating. And he checked over to the side of him and he saw another guy who was barely making any kind of effort. And he was going faster than him. And he was like, "What in the world's going on?" And he saw that that guy was walking on a moving sidewalk or one of those escalator things that move. And Tony Evans says, and it just clicked with him, he said, you know, that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes underneath us, and it helps us do the things that we need to do. Zechariah 4:6 says this. God says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." If you're trying to do spiritual things on your own, you are going to fail. You're going to fail. Any eternal, worthwhile kingdom work can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. So again, I want you to see that we've been called to speak on the behalf of Jesus, but he's empowered us with his word, with motivation, because we have seen Jesus risen from the dead, and we have eternal life, and also because of his Holy Spirit that gives us the power to do what he's called us to do. Well, the second thing we see today is Jesus tells us to go out. We are called to go out. I think the disciples had a tough time grasping what Jesus wanted them to do. Verse 6, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" The disciples were being a little selfish here, kind of thinking of themselves. They asked, "Are you now going to restore Israel?" You know, we just celebrated Christmas, the coming of the Messiah. And the coming thought of the thought of the coming of the Messiah was the Messiah was going to come and he was going to restore Israel back to its glory days. At the time Jesus' life, Israel was being occupied by the Romans. They had Roman soldiers all over the place. The people thought that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to break off any yoke, any physical yoke that was there. Just get rid of the Romans, overthrow the Romans and any other power and return it back to the kingdom of Israel like it was in King David's day. And the disciples haven't seen that happen yet. They haven't seen the kingdom of God or Israel be restored back to what it was in David's day. They haven't seen this happen yet. So they come to Jesus and they say, wait a second. We know that you're the Messiah. It's now the time that you're going to come and bring Israel back into this great nation again. And I think this probably broke Jesus' heart a little bit when he was questioned by the disciples like this, because Jesus is probably like, I got a much bigger plan than that right now. I want the world. I want the world. Not just the kingdom of Israel. I want the world. Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, and the disciples were caught up in the kingdom of Israel. They were so wrapped up in themselves that they didn't see the rest of the world. And I think the Great Commission can be the same way with Christians. We can get so caught up in ourselves that we don't see why we need to go out and we need to share this with other people. Hey, I got eternal life. But we don't see other people don't have eternal life. Churches are guilty of being selfish as well. Churches raise millions of dollars for church buildings. You know, we spent lots of money to redo this sanctuary. And let me tell you, it looks great in here. But remember, the early church did not have buildings. They understood themselves as being the church. They themselves were the church. And again, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with redoing a sanctuary, but we shouldn't be so concerned about having the newest building, the biggest church around. Our motivation should be reaching out to the people who are headed for eternal punishment. That should be what makes the church keep ticking. It shouldn't be about the appearance of a building, but the hearts of the people outside the building. Too often, the churches, I'm lumping all churches are too concerned about what's happening inside the four walls, what's happening inside here, the programs that we have and what we're doing, that they don't see God's heart is with the people who are perishing. God's heart is with those who are perishing. Jesus is sending us out. This mandate is for you personally, and for us as a church collectively. Look at verses 7 and 8. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We don't know the day or the hour when Jesus is going to come back, but He tells us that we are to be His witnesses. Each and every one of us are to be His witnesses. When you were baptized, you declared that I am God's servant and I am God's messenger. I am a minister of Christ. I want you to see here today that I am not the only minister here today. We have over 100 ministers of Jesus Christ here today. You know, in the Old Testament, it was only the Levites who were able to minister before the Lord. But when Jesus died, that broke that. Now everybody is able to be a minister of the gospel. You do not need a seminary degree to go and be a witness for Him and tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. We saw, I told you a little bit earlier, we saw that Jesus picked the common fishermen, the uneducated fishermen, not the religious scholars. You just need to be born again and have the Holy Spirit working in your life, and God can use you. God promises us that He will give us the words to speak when we are being controlled by Him. Jesus tells His disciples in verse 6 that we are to be His witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Now, I'd like to translate that verse into our situation today. We are to be witnesses in Bremen, in Indiana, and in the United States, and all around the world. We are to be global witnesses for Christ. Not all of us will travel outside of the United States to be witnesses, but we still need to be mindful of the spiritual and physical condition of people who live all throughout the world. We need to be willing to give to the work of global missions. We also need to educate everyone in the church on global issues, and we need to raise up workers to go to other places throughout the world. I would love to see this place being a place where missionaries are raised up. And there may be some people here today that have a stirring inside of them that maybe God is calling me to go somewhere to be a witness for Him. Maybe it's not across seas, maybe it is. Maybe somewhere in the United States. But you know what? We want to rally behind you in God's calling in your life to be a missionary. But no matter who you are or where you are at, you are to be a witness for Him. Some people say that they can't share because they are shy. But being an introvert is not a must to be a witness for Christ. Obedience and love is a must. Sometimes the most unexpected people can make the most difference in this world. I'm sure you all heard the story of how, you know, Billy Graham, he's reaching millions for the kingdom of God, or he reached millions for the kingdom of God before he died, but it was a Sunday school teacher that brought him to the Lord. You could be that Sunday school teacher to someone. And there, listen to this story. President Jimmy Carter told about the year he was elected president. So he was elected president. He was invited to speak to 17,000 delegates of a Baptist convention. And he was one of three men who were going to speak, and they each were given 5 minutes to give their remarks. And so the three people that were going to speak was going to be, the first person was going to be Billy Graham. The second person was a no-name truck driver no one's ever heard of. And the third person was President of the United States, Jimmy Carter. You know, you almost had to start feeling sorry for that second person right there, the truck driver that no one ever heard of, that he's going to speak in between these two brilliant people. So, after Billy Graham gave his wonderful talk, the truck driver stood up to speak. He was nervous and without much eloquence. And what he said, he was just stumbling around. He said, "I was always drunk and didn't have any friends. The only people I knew were men like me who hung around the bars and the town where I lived." And he talked about his salvation, coming to Christ, and going to church, and being in Bible studies and people telling him to witness. And then he talks about how he went out to witness. And he says, 14 of my friends became Christians. Well, President Carter writes in his book, he says, that truck driver's speech, of course, was the highlight of the convention. I don't believe anyone who was there will ever forget his fumbling words that he shared that day. Nor do I don't think anybody who was there remembered what I or Billy Graham shared that day. You know, each and every person has a message to share that God is going to use to bring people to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." You know, we are Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who represents someone else. We have U.S. ambassadors that go to other parts of the world, and they represent U.S. interests. And if these people are not concerned about the U.S. and their interests, and they don't really say anything, the U.S. is not going to be properly represented in our world, and our views are not going to be made known in the world. Well, God has made us ambassadors for Him. And if we don't care much about being His ambassador, God, who God is and His views are not going to be shared as much with the world. Jesus gives us the most important job we will ever have. And it's not a teacher, it's not a nurse, it's not a whatever your profession is. That's not the most important job. It is to go out and represent me to this dark and lost world. Can you fathom that? You represent the creator of the whole world. You represent the one who died upon the cross to save people from hell. You represent him to other people. What a privilege to be his ambassador. And let me tell you what, our churches especially should really grab a hold of this. Because you look at the name of our church, and what is it? A missionary church. Okay, is that just a label we have over our church? Are we going to claim that that's what we are? We are missionaries in our everyday life. We need to focus our attention on things that are on outside of the church walls, the building. Again, we get in trouble when we think of the church as a specific place, as a specific building. And we're in trouble when we think of ministers as someone who is employed by the church. Because the church is every single person. And a minister is every single person. So the church and ministers go out throughout the week. And just think about what we can do in our area that God has placed us, in our workplace, in our families, in the marketplace where we go. Could you imagine if every single one of us ministers that are here today would invite one person, get one person to come to church? Wow, I don't know if we'd have room for everybody that would come in. Just think about it. Try to do that this year. I'd say after you get one, go for two. We go for three. We'll have multiple services again, I guess. But the thing is, what would happen if we would all go out and do that? Bremen Missionary is doing some great things, and God is blessing us. But we need to continue to move forward. And what's more important of all, I say this about inviting someone to church, but what's more important is to share the gospel with them, to share Jesus with them. You know, more important is not the kingdom of Bremen Missionary Church, but it's the kingdom of God and sharing his love and his mercy with them. We need to be focused on what God is focused. He's focused on the lost. That's why he came. He came to reach the lost. If that's God's focus, that should be our focus, because we're following God. When are we to be these witnesses? 1 Peter 3:15 says this. Always, that's a key word there, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks of you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We are to be his witnesses always. Always be ready. Ready to tell people why you believe in Jesus. You just need to tell them what God has done in your life. Just tell them how God has changed your life. They can't argue with your testimony. Just tell them, God changed me. This is who I was before. This is who I am now. And the reason is because God changed me. Share your testimony. The application for today. Some people will not be ready for Jesus' return. That's sad. Some people are not going to be ready for Jesus' return. Verse 11 says, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back. He will come back. And in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So the disciples watched him going into heaven, going into the sky, and they watched intently until the cloud hid him from them. But it says he is going to come back. The angel said, just as he saw him leave, he's going to come back in the same manner. You know, and other scriptures talk about how Jesus is going to break open the eastern sky, and he's going to come and call us to meet him up in the air. We don't know when that's going to be. Jesus says he doesn't even know when that's going to be, or the angels don't know when that's going to be. Only the Father knows when that's going to be. We need to stop getting caught up in setting dates and trying to predict when it's going to happen. And we just need to be ready for when it does happen. And we need to help others get ready for when it does happen. Because Jesus could come back at any moment. And are you ready? Are your family members ready? Are your co-workers ready? I love the saying that I'm going to live like Jesus died yesterday. He rose today, and he's coming back tomorrow. Man, if we live with that kind of intensity, wow, that's gonna change the way we talk with people. We need to be ready, and we need to help others to be ready. Just think some of your friends standing, or maybe some of your family standing for the judgment seat of Christ, and they're not ready. They're not ready. And they say, I just wish someone would have told me. I just wish someone would have persuaded me, or someone would have kept at me a little bit more than what they did. You know, the church has a tough job to do. To witness to a dark-minded world that doesn't even want to hear the truth. This world really doesn't want to hear the truth. But you know what? We're not doing this on our own power. We can't make people come to Christ. It's got to be God just taking that veil away from their eyes. But God wants to use sinful people to share the message. And by His Holy Spirit, He's going to motivate us to share. And by His Holy Spirit, He's going to tear down the veil and open the hearts of those who hear. We are His hands and feet. We are His mouthpiece. Let us reach out into this hurting world and show them the love of Christ. If you know Christ, someone told you about Jesus. Pass that on. Share Christ with something else. You have this great prize, this great gift of the Holy Spirit, and this great eternal life. Now pass that on to someone else. So at this time, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. You know, we talk about Jesus' second coming, but you know what? A lot of people haven't heard about His first coming yet. They haven't heard about Him coming to save them of their sins. There are a lot of people not ready. If Jesus would come today, just think about it. If Jesus would come today, a super majority of the people would not be ready. We're talking a super majority of the people would not be ready. Few will come in, Jesus says. There may be people in our church today that if Jesus came back, people here today that would not be ready if Jesus came back. And you'd be apart from Him for all eternity in hell. We need to teach. It's our responsibility. We need to teach the next generation about Christ. We need to teach our family and our coworkers about Jesus. Just share, again, just share what Jesus has done in your life so that they can also have this gift of eternal life in the Holy Spirit. Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. So if you would, let's stand and let's sing hymn number 444. Hymn 444 is, I Love to Tell the Story.